Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the NXT 2.0 preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, to look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT 2.0. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Hamflett and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT 2.0. I think it speaks volumes, Hamflett, that we were sat in the office earlier and I turned to Sidgwick and said, I can't remember a single thing that happened on NXT last week. And then I went, oh, no, I do. Tony D'Angelo went to speak to Lash Legend. Aside from that, I can't remember a goddamn thing.
Yeah, and that's mostly us enjoying Tony D'Angelo for kicks on a podcast rather than earnestly so. I went back to enjoy Tony D'Angelo's performance on with Lash Legend last week, and it had done 25,000 views on YouTube, or 26,000. Oh. Like, as with everything else, he's not going to be number one in any charts with that. Like, as with everything else on NXT, we are already back, unfortunately, to where we were at before Triple H had control, wrestled away from him. It's not really landing anymore. Nothing has really, I don't know, penetrated the conversation on a Wednesday. Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa was maybe it. There was a vibe around Halloween Havoc last week. Felt like an immediate return. I'm hesitant to say return to the normal because nothing feels normal on this show. But it was a return to NXT 2.0's normal. We're going to get more squash. I don't hate it as an experience, but we're going to get more squashes, more one-dimensional characters, and like more things for us to take the piss out of more than we can earnestly enjoy them.
Just a little thought for next week's preview. I'm jumping way ahead here, Sidge, but I'm off the next couple of days. So in theory, I might not have time to watch the best of the week. So maybe on next week's preview, we do like two truths and a lie. You tell me two things that actually happened on the show. I'll avoid all spoilers. I doubt that it's going to be difficult. And you can tell me two things that actually happened and one thing that didn't. What do you reckon?
One, yes, I'll do it. Two, it's very easy to avoid NXT 2.0 spoilers because nobody talks about it. And I know, like, everyone's got a different timeline and you can't use it as an accurate reflection of what people are actually talking about. But my God, it's so easy to avoid Raw spoilers. Because I don't follow the WWE account because it's just spam and I hate them. But I follow a decent cross-section of people with tastes or whatever. And, like, the old picture of Becky Lynch when she used to be from, I used to follow her and she used to be funny. that's about it. The company's dead.
Yes. And if you're thinking, oh, sounds a bit down on NXT 2.0 this week, boys. Don't worry, we've got games to come later.
Yeah, and I'll wait for them.
We've still got our games, but we'll start with the only thing I have seen NXT actively promote. There are things I can find on their website that we will get into. But yeah, front and foremost for this company, Hamflett, is Toxic Attraction, who of course hold all the goals, the women's tag titles, the NXT Women's Championship. And tonight there is a trios match, Mandy Rose, Gigi Dolin, and JC Jane versus Io Shirai, Casey Catanzaro, and Caden Carter. And my question to you is, will Toxic Attraction continue to dominate?
Well, you don't become the most dominant force in all of NXT without winning matches. Although you do, because they lost the first one. So I got more of a kick out of you calling this a trios match than anything that can possibly happen in the match itself, by the way.
Superstars with a capital S next to you, Mark.
Hey, my friend Mark. They'll win like the big matches and then lose these ones. I don't expect Toxic Attraction to win tonight. If anything, I would expect Io Shirai's team to get one over on Toxic Attraction, because this couldn't matter less. Casey Catanzaro and Kaden Carter have been slotted into this role to be the first losers to Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. I say a feud, that's generous, but they're going to be their first title opponents and they're going to lose. There's not many other relatively established teams for them to go over anyway. And Mandy Rose and Io Shirai has got to be good for Mandy Rose's sake more than it has for like Io Shirai's future. If Io Shirai is not getting bangers out of these wrestlers that don't typically have them, she's not really got a purpose in NXT or WWE. It doesn't seem like the main roster's ever calling. They've explored every storyline avenue with her as a babyface and a heel. She's only there to give people who really need them great matches. So Toxic Attraction will win both these title matches. Ergo, they lose all the setups.
It seems like a way to engineer the Io Shirai versus Mandy Rose match, which was heavily teased last week. And the easiest way of accomplishing that is having Io Shirai pin either Gigi Dolin or JC Jane. They're champions, which makes all of this suboptimal, which is why you shouldn't realistically do the... What's the quickest way we can get people to think of an act as credible? Just give them all the belts.
Yeah.
Give them all the belts, and then you realise, oh, hang on, they won't really resonate as champions if they're getting beat. But this is a WWE thing that they don't give a toss about. It's all about the pretty visuals. Io Shirai will pin JC Jane after 10 minutes of lackluster action.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by this in terms of it seems like Io Shirai is going to be set up as the first challenger, and you sense that Mandy Rose successfully defends at the end of that. So, yeah, win here. Maybe she beats Gigi Dolin and JC Jane in singles action as a build towards Mandy Rose. You watch me try and look for when the next takeover is. I'll swear I heard a report the other week that they are planning on maybe doing one at the start of December, but you sense they may burn through this even before that.
Potentially. The last I heard was that it's going to be some kind of special, but they're unsure as yet, or they're just not told anyone, if they're going ahead with the takeover branding. If it was up to me, I would just bin it. Absolutely bin it for two reasons. The first of which is, if you do takeovers with like Bron Breakker versus LA Knight, like, it's just going to remind the few people who still miss NXT and still think it's a bit of a disgrace what NXT 2.0 is, you're just going to deaden that brand value in their eyes. So that's why you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if this thing continues to fail, and it is legitimately failing, TakeOver has got legitimate brand value on a sort of one-night stand level about two or three years down the line. If they do NXT TakeOver reboot, rebooted NXT, and they get like a few people who were awesome in NXT to appear on the card, and like a few people, like CM Punk was in the role of WWE ECW's breakout guy, who was like, oh, this works, because you can imagine he would have got over in the old ECW.
Yeah.
Like the same idiosyncratic spirit from ex-indie guy or whatever, if there's another philosophical sea change down the line. I can't call it TakeOver, like.
What about NXT 2.0-ver?
Nope.
Something? Okay. That is me genuinely putting my WWE brain and going, yeah, I could actually see them doing that.
Yeah.
Speaking of titles, Tommaso Ciampa, NXT champion. What's next for him? He had that coming together with Carmelo Hayes last week. Bron Breakker obviously said he's going to take the title off him or die trying. And then I've just put LA Knight's name down as well as someone else who's slightly well known, because I assume Gargano's going to be doing North American Championship stuff, maybe.
Yeah, it's all a bit all over the place. They've mentioned potential challengers. I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on. I've got any idea. Tommaso Ciampa's had interactions with people who might take the title off him, whether it's Gargano or Hayes. Tony D'Angelo himself. Our internet connection's unstable, so apologies in advance, Hamlet, if that goes off. But a lot of people are talking about wanting the title or wanting to defend the title. I've got no idea. It suggests to me that there's going to be some kind of multi-man deal. One of the reasons for which is they don't want Ciampa to run down every new emerging act, or they will very quickly not appear to be emerging acts. So maybe a multi-man match with Ciampa versus X amount of NXT 2.0 projects and a pin eater like LA Knight.
Yeah, I thought LA Knight might be a good suggestion purely because he could get a decent bit of promo game out of him. Obviously, he's, you know, a bit all over the place in terms of his booking, feuding with, was it Grayson Waller, the thrill-seeking Golden Gloves cosplay?
Lothario,
whatever
big,
it is.
Big, big, funny rat.
But what do you think for Tommy Chomps, Hamlet?
I like the multi-man option, but what that typically reveals is that there's nobody else lined up as an effective singles guy. LA Knight, as you say, I mean, he could get it by default, I guess. LA Knight, remember, is the guy who we looked upon the existing NXT talent before episode one of 2.0 and assumed because he was sort of jacked and chiseled that he'd be perfect, a perfect fit for this new NXT. And NXT had other ideas by debuting about 50 new talent instead over top of them. So maybe over that period, ever since then, he's impressed a little bit. Like he lost in the very first match of 2.0 and then lost again in the main event. That was the first night for LA Knight. And we predicted that he'd be like a favourite of this new regime. So maybe he's had a bit of time now and they like him enough to let him have a one-off against Ciampa. It doesn't. The only thing heated in the title picture at the moment, and I'd like, and I mean this, I genuinely do like it, is the prospect of the Bron Breakker rematch. Whether that comes in the form of Bron Breakker remaining babyface and kind of trying to learn from his mistakes the first time against Ciampa, or whether it comes from him having his respect, having his trust, and then turning, and you get the absolute nastiest version of him and he beats him second time around. I like both of those. I genuinely think there's something worth holding on to with Bron Breakker's eventual victory. But in the meantime, yes, a multi-man's the way to go, but only just to sort of transparently get through it, just to sort of build a losses both a little bit on the takeover crack. But like they might just see it as what's in a name, but I actually think it's pretty damaging to try and put this lot on a Sunday night for 3 hours. Halloween Havoc was, and they barely dressed it up, but you're just labelling your two-hour Tuesday night show. I think it inflicts far less damage on the wrestlers themselves, let alone the takeover branding, if you steer as far away from that as possible. You are setting so many people up to fail, asking people to tune in for 3 hours on a Friday, on a Sunday, sorry, as if it was your standard WWE pay-per-view. There's a lot of people that like very clearly aren't ready for it.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
One thing I am genuinely looking forward to tonight is, well, Cameron Graham spending all the money you want in G. Bloody Hansen's poker room, but also the return of Kaylee Ray. She's had some vignettes, video packages, etc., highlighting her return, raging and all that. But she is someone who is genuinely talented. I'm concerned about how 2.0 are going to handle her, Hamflirt, but she's a great person to have around if you're going to have matches with her and, I don't know, Io Shirai, for example.
Yeah, the vignettes were really cheesy and dated, but I guess it was one of them things where if you know what you're getting with Kaylee Ray, you could almost sort of brush that stuff off. She's part of this machine. You know you have to do that kind of thing. You would hope that whatever introductory character they give her, if they're trying to like, I don't think, it doesn't look like they're trying to reimagine her that drastically, but whatever strange trait they give her, because it's 2.0 and everybody gets one, that can be ultimately overlooked when the bell rings. There are people who, so Kaylee Ray is really angry. So the idea is she's going to come and she's going to, you know, express her anger in the form of decking somebody. So I would just, you know, like, look, you look up and down that roster and you think, right, there's plenty of people for her to take out. She could take out Ember Moon or Frankie Monet or Jessie Camille. Just three off the top of my head, for example. Or if they're not around, perhaps she could take out Cora Jade and then her boyfriend Trey Baxter could make the save. You see, like, there's just loads of people around on this roster for her to be able to make an impact at the expense of. So she's certainly not coming in at the worst possible time. And I have nothing but high hopes for her. Thoughts? Feelings?
I think you might have to slightly update your roster. But yeah.
Well, I don't know what you mean. It's a healthy, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
I know you've appreciated her, for example, when she popped up in War Games.
Yeah.
She's a great talent.
Yeah, she's really good. I think her prospects stateside are bleak.
I'm hoping that this is just like, okay, we'll get you back doing a bit of stuff and then hopefully move you onto the main roster. But
why would you want a career to die?
Yeah. I mean, it's the lesser of two evils, isn't it, really? Or three evils, possibly. But I don't know. I feel like as a force in there, she could do some real, like her as world champion. Look what she did in NXT UK, if you ever saw it. You know, it was great. I'd rather have her as world champion than Mandy Rose. I feel like she could do a lot more.
Yeah, but honey, is she hot? And I mean, I'm absolutely not saying she isn't, but would Bruce Pritchard think she's hot? That is the difference. You don't really want to think of any of these women as hot. I want to think of them as really talented professional wrestlers, but that's not how they view things. And if you want to inform your predictions, you have to get into their headspace. Imagine being Bruce Pritchard, like, such an arsehole. I think I might even hate Pritchard more than McMahon. At least Vince has given us several unforgettable memories with his once incredible patter. Like, Bruce Pritchard is just a rancid, festering arsehole of a man.
Well, speaking of which, what are they going to do with O'Reilly and Von Wagner? Seems like they're teasing not announced necessarily a breakup right now, but we're on that road, aren't we? They can coexist for now, Sige, but miscommunication, whatever you want to call it, cost them the match last week, and Von Wagner was furious.
You forgot one important element of the story there. Some 12-ounce curls. Kyle O'Reilly is at WGNNE gone. And I can't blame him. And he's there to put over Von Wagner. They've already teased that. Oh, what do you think these fellas can coexist? And they'll have a presumed subsequent tag team match in which Von Wagner makes another mistake. Kyle O'Reilly can be like, come on, Von, you're useless. That's twice now, right? And Kyle O'Reilly, he's playing the nice guy, the like sort of mentor. And it's going to happen one of these days when he decides to go, oh, come on, Von Wagner, you're useless. You're a bit weird. This is going to work out. And Von Wagner can go, I don't like you, Kyle. You don't got hard. And they can have a few. Kyle O'Reilly loses, and then he can go and actually have a career subsequent to that in All Elite Wrestling.
I'd rather honestly see Kyle O'Reilly back on his bike in vignettes than wrestling matches on this show at the moment. I don't even get that much from his, like, Kyle O'Reilly's awesome. That should go without saying, but just to be very, very clear before I'm slightly critical of his work at present, his matches are just so formulaic and basic that I'm not getting any of the joy that you're supposed to get from a wrestler that you love watching. So I'm not getting it from Kyle O'Reilly. Compared and contrast that to the weeks where he was in the woods with Von Wagner. Like, get him back on his bike again, looking daft in his helmet. He can crash into a car and then the car door can open and it's, I'm Vanny Pickering. You know, I'll take that. And that can be the turn. I'd rather the daft vignettes. Again, we're just talking about ways in which, we had this with Owens on Raw, the ways in which to hopefully see somebody that you really like off to another company. Like, well, this will do for the last angle, where they can go somewhere that I can actually appreciate them again. Kyle O'Reilly is dead in the water on this brand, and he's so dead that if they think it is as simple enough as breaking these two up and then him giving Von Wagner a decent match and him putting Von Wagner over, if they believe that any of those old-fashioned things work as a way to set up Von Wagner for after Kyle O'Reilly's left, they're wrong. Von Wagner's going to be exactly where he was 6-7 weeks ago when Kyle O'Reilly leaves. He's not going to be any further on. We're not going to stroke our chins and go, I really see something in that Von Wagner. You know, I'm excited for what he's going to do next. It's just transparent that he's being carried through things. It doesn't feel natural or TV ready yet or anything like that. And that's okay, because this is a developmental brand. You're supposed to have time, but they're going to assume that Von Wagner will be made by this Kyle O'Reilly thing, and it's a hiding in nowhere.
Yeah, I think they think he's the forehead of the table. Right, one final question for you, Hamlet, before we get to the games.
Yeah, don't worry, the games are coming.
The games are coming, and I can't believe I'm asking this question, and I want everyone to know before I ask it, this is the name that WWE has given the team. Michael Hamlet, in all your years of wrestling experience, taking all that into account, do you think Jacket Time can defeat the Creed brothers?
No, of course not. Jacket Time.
Because it's so funny. Ikem and Jiro wears jackets, and Kushida, he draws a watch, doesn't he, on his wrist? So, Jacket Time.
Jacket to the future is right there.
They're fighting the Creed brothers, so there's going to be some jacket potatoes tonight because they hit hard. Jacket Time. This is.
And I will rock jacket potatoes. Yeah, weird Barrow.
This is patronising, condescending, possibly racist, and the Creed brothers are still going to win. Like, the Creed brothers are still absolutely batter these mugs. They're being reduced into these comedic, marginalised positions, and it's still only to take a beating. Diamond Mine are a pretty cool act. Everything feels like it's clicking with them at the moment. So typically, this would be one of those few things that you could enjoy for what it is. Rather than for what it isn't, which is rare on 2.0. Creed Brothers, yeah, we've seen them be like get slightly diluted over the last few weeks, but even the diluted version of them is still pretty awesome. They feel threatening. They feel like a team you want to win belts, you know, like rise up the ranks. They're going to do it at Jacket Time's expense. And I'm sure Jacket Time will be able to rebuild their credibility on YouTube after the fact.
Yeah, I'm terrified they're going to make Jacket Time dress in those bloody singlets. But what do you reckon, Sage? Who do you think is going to kick the other's ass?
I think that... weird, man. Like, I don't know and I don't care. That's part of the problem. I just kind of want to get to the games now.
There you go. I'll give you a little softball question. Can Jacket Time defeat the Creed brothers?
Maybe.
Okay.
I think Jacket Time will go over because indirectly, Kushida will then get towards a rematch with Roderick Strong and there's anyone else.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Away. Yeah, Odyssey Jones isn't having a match, is he? Even though that he's
got 205 live. So you might.
Well, yeah. And he fought the champion. He just got cheated out of it. But yeah, I think they're going to get absolutely ragdolled, but then quite possibly, I think you also might be right that Kushida uses this as a platform to reestablish
himself. I think that Cruiserweight title is not long for this world.
Well,
not signing anyone who's not some lummox. I generally don't think there's going to be a Cruiserweight title by this time next year.
I don't think there's going to be an NXT this time next year. So there you go. Right, should we move on to the games?
Yes!
The real thing we do here. Zeitgeist. 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 Zeit, Guys, guys, you've got a good track record with this. Why don't you go first?
Yes, absolutely. I, 5 minutes before recording this podcast, went on Twitter.
Which is exactly what WWE does when they write it. So.
So I went on the trending tab and I saw what was popping. I think Lash Legend's usually the one to drop in a cultural reference. So no other reason just to do it is proof that these 76-year-old and 60-year-old blokes are like in touch with pop culture, or the intern that they hire to do this for them. And I think Lash Legend is going to do like another 24-second edition of her talk show. That's just like these people. Do the people in the audience sit there? And is the implication that it goes on longer, but you just see a highlight? Or do they just sit there and they love it? They love it so much. They're laughing so loud. They go and sit there and think, I can't wait. I'm going to pop my tits off for a 24-second episode.
Got a babysitter. Paid for parking.
It's time for lashing out. Oh, it's... God, I've waited all week for this.
You get, you know, like when Oprah comes out, people are like, oh, yes, come on! And they're like, yeah, give me the second Flash Legend, baby!
It's just the oddest thing. And I I think Lash Legend on Lashing Out, without telling you what bit of the show was particularly hot, because this is the only part of the show, is going to say something to the effect of, this episode of Lashing Out with Lash Legend is so hot that COP26 aren't going to be happy about this. And that's like the show.
And they're going to put Lash Legend versus Greta Thunberg for NXT 2.0.
And Greta Thunberg's the heel, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously Thunberg's the heel. That's just a little face.
Amphlet, what's your zeitgeist heist for this week?
Mine was also relating to Lash Legend because it is, as Cedric points out, it's quite easy to say, like labour her with the responsibility of trying to do this thing. This bit that we've created, but this bit that has been created because they have forced it upon us. I think she's going to say that her talk show, Lashing Out, is so prestigious that it cannot be saved. It's NXT, not NFT. You can't just take a copy and make it your own. This is an original and it's worth billions.
Very good shout as well. Just in case you're wondering, by the way, if you've not heard the Zeitgeist Heist before, we're guessing what topical references WWE will chuck in. And again, I also think this is coming on Lashing Out with Lash Legend. I can see her, because often what she does is she is the conduit of a recap of the previous week, which would be interesting because if you go on their YouTube channel, Tony D'Angelo appearing on her show, it was just his appearance. All the bollocks she talked before, and they went, okay. Get rid of that. No one wants to hear from that. So my opinion is she's going to say like, you guys see last week, huh? You guys see last week, those unorthodox tag teams not getting on too well. Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner and what's his name? Dexter, Gaylord Loomis and Johnny Gargano. And they're not quite getting on. They're getting on about as well as Britney Spears and her dad. Am I right? Huh? Huh? Because she's about to get freed from that bottle of conservatorship or whatever.
It's just written capital letters. Just for the those who are unaware, I'm reading Wilborn's notes because I'm sat next to him. Capital letters, Zeitgeist Heist - Britney Spears and her dad. Which sounds like, you know, when you're a student and even if you don't play an instrument, you'll think, oh, let's form a band and we'll call it. And it's always like a little bit of like black comedy banter, like a bit of harsh banter, like Fritzl Seller or something like that.
Yes.
Like Michael Sidgwick and Fritzl Sellers. Britney Spears and her dad is very much a student novelty band name. That's a little bit not on.
Hello, welcome to Battle of the Bands. We are Britney Spears and her dad. And we are here to rock you, Warwick. Should we finish up with a little game of Tony D'Angelo Predictor?
Yeah.
Amphlet, you go first.
So I love Tony D'Angelo so much that I tuned in to watch him on The Bump last week.
Oh, what did he get up to?
He's a baby. Well, he was
calling out everybody. It was an old Derek Dory trick of basically going for the champion and then naming every other opponent on the show. Like, he was lining up his next 6 months worth of stories. He's like, he's got all of his rivals set up. But he was explaining, well, expressing how he felt disrespected by not being invited to Duke's poker room before Cameron Grimes cleaned it out. So I think he's either going to offer to back Duke in rebuilding the business. Hey, I'll get you a little loan. I'll get you back on your feet. Whoa. Ruffle his hair. Kind of thing. Or he's going to, like, bump into Cameron Grimes, who's going to be buzzing with all this money that he's earned fairly in the poker world. And then Cameron Grimes is going to walk into a little bit of trouble. Meet a few more of my family members. That's what I think. I think he's going to have spied an opportunity on one side or the other of that little development last week.
Yeah, I really like that. Setting up a new loan to set up his business. Maybe Duke Hudson can't afford to pay it back completely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great shout.
I do like that.
Sige?
So the Tony Angelo predictor for any new listeners who, for whatever reason, want to get some spicy NXT 2.0 takes. It's the same one. It's Matt Reigns, etc. So we predict what he's going to do and what of his weight.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Pete Dunne's going to have like a 2-minute squash against somebody and win. And that Tony D'Angelo, a bit of a throwback, is going to have a little stare down with Pete Dunne on the ramp. Pete Dunne is going to look at Tony D'Angelo and do his shrug.
Mm-hmm.
Shrug. And Tony D'Angelo is going to be apoplectic with this. The disrespect. You don't care about Tony D'Angelo, I don't care about you. And that'll be the match that Tony D'Angelo has next. Because if you remember, he took the piss out of Pete Dunne's voice the other week. So that's in NXT's storyline universe. That is enough to create a match. I think he's going to grab the microphone and say something. Look, I'll be honest. I just Googled list of Sopranos characters to try and get my word here. So he's done. He's got. He's done Tony. Was Adriana the other week?
Yeah, I feel like there's been a Louie, maybe.
We've had a Junior.
We've had a Junior.
Junior, maybe. Then maybe that's
Louie and the Sopranos, asshole. I think he's going to talk about, hey, my buddy Carmine.
Carmine. Yeah, he is going to crowbar that in there. I think.
That in my car.
I think you're right. I think it's sort of a combination of your two things, really. I think he's going to come out and talk about, I think it's time Tony got a bit higher up on the card, got it, making a bit more money, you know. Why else would I be here? And he'll say, yeah, I want to go after, you know, a champion, a Carmelo Hayes, a Tommaso Ciampa. Huh? I'll take on both of Imperium. How you like that, huh? And he was also going to mention, yeah, Schmuck Pete Dunne. Huh? You can get a taste. I'm crossing the streams here. But in amongst naming all this, he's going to be interrupted by my other favorite character, not named Cameron Grimes. Did someone say Andre Chase? Andre Chase, by the way, in case you're keeping up with this. He's going to go, Andre, I see you're a well-educated gentleman. Huh? Well, just like you, I went to school. You see, but I went to the school of Hard Knocks. And he's going to be pissed off because he got interrupted by Andre Chase. And he's going to say, Andre, I want you to step in this ring with me. Okay, we're going to duke it out. And I'm going to beat you so bad. I'm going to take all that knowledge that you learned at that fancy school. And I'm going to make you forget about it.
I'm freaking reading it on these notes and I'm still popping them. Well, he's setting himself up a little scene, like, it's great. Forget about it. Obviously capitalized. Obviously got an exclamation mark at the end. Ellipsis. A bit of ellipsis before I forget about
set
it.
Set the scene, huh?
For a bit of an emphasis.
Oh. A dramatic beat in there, and then you say, forget about it.
Tell your ellipsis about me.
If you want to get involved at What Culture WWE, you can let us know your thoughts about the rest of NXT, but we won't care. But if you want to play the games, the Zeitgeist Tyson, the Tony D'Angelo Predictor at What Culture WWE. You can follow all of us on Twitter on there as well. You can follow Michael Hamfler at
Michael Hamfler.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at...
How we start playing games for Raw and SmackDown?
Yes, that might be an idea, you know.
Yeah, at M Sidgwick.
WhatCulture.BigCartel.com if you want to pre-order Sidge's brilliant new book about AEW, or get involved in the Sidgwick bundle and get his NXT book from a few years back as part of it as well. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The Raw review is available right now, and our review of this show will be out tomorrow. So if you subscribe, it'll be in your feed as soon as it is released. But for now, this has been the NXT 2.0 preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.